Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Are you or someone you love being held in the grips of some addictive behavior or some past abuse? If so, next on Daily in the Word, we're going to discover recovery together with God. Stay with us. Lasting spiritual recovery is only possible by the internal transforming power of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only because of the gospel and because of the power of Jesus Christ that we can truly experience recovery from chains of addiction and abuse that bind us and haunt us for so long in life. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word and to a series entitled Recovery Together with God. This program comes to you from the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California, and features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster. You can find out more about this ministry online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On that website, you'll find plenty of resources that will encourage you in your relationship and your ongoing recovery as you walk with Jesus Christ. Right now, we're going to discover how to open our heart to God's evaluation. Psalm chapter 139, verses 23 through 34. Here's Paul Chapel.
We've entitled this series, Recovery Together with God. And we've been learning how that by the grace of God, He has developed a plan for each and every one of us to overcome our hurts, our hang-ups, our habits of destruction. God wants us to recover from anything that the devil would bring into our lives to destroy us and discourage us from serving God. And 4 weeks ago, we learned that the first thing we need to do is to recognize our need for God. Because if we think through our own control techniques or through denial that we can work our way through, then we really aren't going to get to base number one. We've got to recognize that all of us need God if we're going to go on victoriously in this life. The second thing we learned was that we need to experience a meaningful relationship with God. We need to experience a meaningful relationship with God, and we need to learn His attributes, the fact that He knows all things, the fact that He is love, the fact that He has all power to take care of our problems. And as we continue to experience that meaningful relationship with God, He meets those needs that become apparent in our life. And then last week we learned that we need to choose a life of commitment to Jesus Christ. There comes a place, if someone's going to recover, if someone's going to overcome from the challenges of this world, that we need to get serious about walking with God. We need to make a choice to commit our lives to Christ. And what an important step that was. But today, we come to a pivotal study when it comes to the matter of recovery. Today, we learn about opening our hearts, opening my heart to God's evaluation. Being willing to say, all right, Lord, I'm experiencing some trials, some hurts. I'm having trouble overcoming an addiction. I'm having trouble overcoming the hate within my heart. And God, as I experience that, I'm willing to open my heart up to You and allow You to pinpoint the root cause of this problem. I'm asking You to show me what is it in my heart that's hindering me from getting on with the victorious Christian life. Now, this step today is an important part of the recovery process because of the paralyzing effects of guilt. You see, if we don't learn how to deal with the sin and the problems that we're facing in our lives, many times Satan will bring guilt into our heart and tell us that we're unworthy to go on. He even causes some Christians to doubt their salvation. He causes people to question whether or not they're even worthy to be a part of a church or worthy to even be alive. And because of the paralyzing effects of guilt, we need to find the victory that Jesus wants every one of us to have. You see, guilt will keep us stuck in the past, and it will keep us from becoming all that God wants us to become. Now, do you realize this morning as we sit here that none of us in this room are perfect? Do you realize this morning that every person in this room, if we were honest, has some regrets about the way that life has gone so far, or even some of the decisions that we have made in this life? None of us are perfect. All of us have sinned according to the word of God. And sometimes as a result of those failures of the past, we carry guilt consciously. Sometimes we carry it unconsciously, yet it is being carried by many today. Many people try to deny that guilt. They try to repress that guilt. They try to cover it with sinful habits. They try to cover it with alcohol or by moving on to another wrong relationship. Sometimes people try to work harder to prove themselves in a way to overcome that guilt. But all of these self-made paths bring us back to despair and to depression. I once heard an interview between Barbara Walters and Greg Louganis, the famous gold medal winning swimmer. And Greg Louganis was telling how that in his earlier life he had family troubles and troubles at school, and people called him a sissy. And because of some of the things that were said and because of some of his responses, he began to sense tremendous guilt and pressure. And his way of trying to overcome the things that were said was, like many people in this room, to try to drive his way to success, to try to become somebody through swimming and prove his point to the world. And so he became very driven to find himself winning gold medals and to somehow overcome the things that had been said about him. He said to Barbara Walters, "I had a very, what he called, low self-esteem, and so I tried to become somebody through sports." Well, the fact of the matter is that as he told his story, he said that in spite of all of his accomplishments, he was still a very miserable person. And in fact, as a very miserable person, Greg Louganis, who had begun doing very well in swimming, moved on into a wicked lifestyle called homosexuality. And that abusive homosexual relationship ultimately led him to acquiring the AIDS virus. And the fact of the matter was that though he had tried in many different ways, some ways, such as sports, other ways, such as wicked relationships, he sat there in the interview, a man who was empty, a man who was depressed, and a man without hope. Why? Because he had taken his problems to all of the wrong sources in order to try to overcome. My friend, we need to learn today how to open our heart up to God and say, "God, I want you to show me the root cause of my trials, of my setbacks, of my sin. And I want you to help me to have the right pathway to attaining in this life what you have designed for me to attain." You see, we will never truly recover from the setbacks and the hurts of this life until we learn how to live with a clear conscience, until we know that we're being honest before God. The psalmist said in Psalm 32 and verse 1, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered." Now, those of you who've studied the Bible term blessed, you know that it means happy. And so the Bible says, "Happy is the man whose sin is forgiven," or transgression is forgiven, "and whose sin is covered." Now listen, you can try to hide that sin with a strong work ethic. You can try to hide it by moving from one relationship to another and blaming the past relationships for your problem. Or you can openly come to the Lord this morning and say, "God, show me the problem and show me how to have victory over the problem." Now, there are many different ways to deal with guilt, but the proper way is to be honest about any sin that's present and let God give you the victory and the forgiveness in that day. Now, I want you to recognize some things about guilt by way of introduction. Guilt destroys your confidence. Guilt destroys your confidence. When someone has sin and guilt in their life, they have a difficult time witnessing, for example. They have a difficult time really having victory in their heart because that guilt holds them back. It destroys their confidence. Guilt destroys relationships. Guilt causes people to become angry and impatient, and then after they're angry and impatient, it causes a parent to spoil their child because they're guilty about what they did, and then sometimes it causes parents to find themselves being involved in avoiding commitment to people because they've blown it so many times in the past, and they're so guilty about that that they can't open their heart up to someone else, and guilt has a way of destroying relationships. And isn't it amazing, this thing called guilt? Sometimes we're guilty about things that aren't even based in sin. I have had a book I showed to the folks in the first service, and it simply was entitled, "When I Relax, I Feel Guilty." And sometimes that's how certain of us are. Boy, we can't even take a five-minute break without feeling guilty. And sometimes people feel guilty when God blesses them. And you know, my friend, the fact of the matter is, if you're faithful in giving to God and faithful as a steward in the things of God, and He blesses you with things physically, He doesn't want you to feel guilty. He wants you to feel grateful for those things. But you see, people, because of various circumstances in their life, can many times live with guilt. Guilt causes us many times to be stuck in the past. And I know of many people who, because of a certain situation, they're living in the past. They're not pressing forward for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, as Paul was. They're stuck in the past. I read an article this past week in Time magazine, and it was an amazing article to me. It was about fear. And the article showed a black widow spider hanging from a web. And it described in the article over 500 kinds of phobias that people have today. Well, I didn't know there were so many. I didn't know there were so many things to be afraid of. And it described all these things. And for example, it said some people have the fear of cats. I think I have that one. It said some people have the fear of bathing. I think Brother Furso has that one. And it went on and on. It said it named one called ecclesiophobia, the fear of church. I think most American Christians have that one today. They're not showing up. Maybe they have the fear of church, you know. And the article said there's a new drug called Paxis. And this new drug is available as a cure for all 500 kinds of fears that were mentioned in the article. Now talk about a wonder drug, huh? And you can take that and it'll cure you from any of the fears. I think it's a mix between marijuana and cocaine or something. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but whatever it is, it'll take care of those fears, right? And the article was talking about that, you know. Now, many of these fears were called panic disorders. These panic disorders were attributable to some type of traumatic experience in someone's past. And you know, the fact of the matter is that most of us probably have some kind of a phobia today related to something from the past. And some people even have a guilt related to that that is not desirable, that is not the will of God. And until we open our hearts up to God for His examination, until we deal with the sin, until we deal with the hurt in a biblical way, we are not going to go on in this life doing what God has called us to do. So how can we open our heart unto the Lord today? I want to give you four thoughts, and if you'll follow this, I believe God will use it to help you in your life. The first thing we need to do this morning, all of us, not just the alcoholic, not just the person who's codependent on some wrong, abusive relationship, but the first thing that all of us need to do is to allow God to take inventory of our heart. Allow God to take inventory of our heart. Now, I want you to notice this with me in Psalm 139, verse 23. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The psalmist said, "God, would you search my heart?" Folks, I want to tell you something about my heart. The Word of God says that my heart is deceitful. The Word of God says that I can't really always know why I act the way I act. I can't really know what's going on in there. Paul the Apostle said, "I can't judge mine own self." He said, "It is God who is the judge." And so the psalmist says, "Lord, search my heart." We need in our lives to allow God to search our hearts. Lamentation 3 and verse 40, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." Now, two thoughts about allowing God to search our hearts. First of all, we need to ask Him to reveal any sin that hinders us. Just ask Him, God, is there a sin in my heart that keeps causing me to respond improperly in this relationship? Is there a sin in my heart that's causing me to turn to this substance? God, what is it that's going on in my heart? Psalm 26 and verse 2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. You know, when we come to church, we need to have an open heart. When we open the Bible, we need to have an open heart. We need to say, God, show me today what you want me to see today, that which only you can show me. I heard of a man that went to an evangelist one time, and they'd had two or three nights of the revival meeting, and the evangelist had been saying, now, if God's speaking to your heart, come forward and confess that sin, or come forward and deal with that issue. And the man said to the evangelist, he said, you know, you've been saying that all week long. He said, but every time you say it, I can't think of one thing that I need to take care of. I don't really sense anything in my life. The evangelist said, well, I'll tell you what to do. He said, tomorrow night after I'm done preaching, and when we give that invitation, I want you to come forward and kneel down up at the front, up at the altar area. And he said, what I want you to do is just guess at something. And the man did that. And he came up to the pastor or the evangelist after the meeting that night. And he said, you'll never believe it. He said, I guessed right the very first time. Now, folks, the truth of it is, all of us have issues in our hearts that need to be dealt with. And if we'll just guess, maybe we'll guess right the very first time. Now, as you open your heart to the Lord, I want to give you just three quick thoughts on how to do that. First of all, be slow about it. Don't say, all right, Lord, I got 30 seconds. I've had my bran muffin and my coffee, and I've got 30 seconds before the car pulls. Is there anything in here you want to show me? Didn't think so. Thanks anyways. Take some time to let the Lord speak to your heart. You might have to get alone somewhere at lunch for half an hour, under a tree somewhere, or maybe take a drive somewhere and just spend some time and be slow about it. Be sure about it. Wait on the Lord. Be sensitive in your spirit to the Lord. Sometimes it might help you to sit down and write some things out as God speaks to your heart. You may want to throw that paper away or burn it when you're done, but write some things out and just try to think through where you're at in your heart with God. Ask the Lord to reveal any sin that hinders you. Secondly, allow God's Spirit to reveal your needs through the Word of God. Sometimes just through prayer and meditation, God reveals something, but always through His Word, He will show you what's going on in your heart. Now, I want you to think about Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, how many of you realize the Christian life is a heart relationship with Jesus Christ? And the Bible is the Word of God. It's the sword that is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when we hear Bible preaching, when we read the Bible, oftentimes God's going to show us something in our heart. Now, that's why some people don't like Bible preaching churches. They'd rather hear a praise band for an hour than the preaching for an hour. Because the preaching's going to pinpoint some things that God wants us to deal with in our hearts. And a mature Christian welcomes the strong, declarative preaching of the Word of God. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And so God is constantly revealing His will and His way to us through His Word. And so we need to allow God to evaluate our hearts. We need to welcome that. We need to realize that when the Word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit wants to do an examination of our hearts. And He wants to show us those areas that we still need to work on, those areas that are holding us back. And He wants to help us understand why we respond sometimes the way we do, why we try to handle our trials through drugs, through food, through hatred, through anger. Why do we do that? God wants to reveal that to you. I want to tell you something. I can't reveal it. Your friends many times may try, but they can't. But God can reveal if you'll say, Lord, search my heart. Try me. Show me what areas in my life are wrong, are wicked, and need to be changed. Now, the second step in opening our heart to Christ is accepting God's evaluation. accepting God's evaluation. The first step is allowing him to do the evaluation. The second step is accepting God's evaluation. Now, there's a word that we sometimes say here at church, and or you hear sometimes at church, and it's the word amen, all right? Now, that word sometimes makes people nervous, like, man, what is he saying in there? Why are they saying that? Well, amen simply means I agree. That's what it means. When someone says amen, they're saying, I agree. Now, let me help you with something. Whenever we read the Word of God, our spirit needs to be saying amen. You might not be a big amener in the church, you know. You might not be someone that's saying, amen, glory to God, whatever. But in our hearts, we need to be saying amen. In our hearts, we need to agree with what the Bible is saying to us. We need to accept God's evaluation. Now, I want to share with you then two ways to agree or to accept God's evaluation. First of all, when God pinpoints something to you in your heart, we need to confess that to God. We need to confess it to God. We need to openly admit that, God, I'm glad you showed me that through that message this morning. I'm glad you showed me that in your word this morning. I didn't realize that. I confess that to you. Now, Proverbs 20:27 says this, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, that's a strange verse. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. What does that mean? It means that our spirit is lit by his awareness or consciousness within us. He searches the most secret parts of man. God is going to search the innermost being of a man to show us what we need to see by the illumination of his spirit and his word. And when he does show you something, you need to confess that to God. Now, John said in 1 John 1 and verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Listen, if someone can hear preaching week after week and read the Bible week after week and act like, hey, I don't have any problems, what's the big deal? If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. You know who's going to get the most out of this message this morning? The person who says, wow, Lord, you were right there. I needed that. Lord, I ask you to help me with that. Lord, I confess it was me that needed that message. In fact, our attitude, if we're approaching this right, should not be defensive like, I've got to watch it. He's going to say something. He's going to get me today. Our attitude should be, Lord, let me have it. Show me what I need today. And when he does, then we confess to the Lord. Boy, Lord, thank you. That's what I needed. Because if we say that we have no sin, we're just hurting ourselves. We're just going to cause the problem to go farther and farther down if we say that we have no sin. So we must confess that to God. Secondly, we need to many times confess it to a godly person.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're studying recovery together with God. We're discovering how to break loose from the chains of sin that bind us and how to experience the new life that really comes with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Recovery with God. You can find out more about this series or listen to past messages when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. When you visit Daily in the Word online, I want to encourage you to take advantage of the resources that are there to help you in your spiritual growth. The first would be the podcast. You can download this program and take it with you on your device or your computer to listen to at your convenience. Also, you can refer a friend to the Daily in the Word podcast and let them be encouraged by the same preaching you receive each and every day via this broadcast. I want to encourage you to take a look at Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. It's an allegory that each chapter is filled with not only a storyline, but then practical applications that will help you understand how to cast your burdens really and truthfully upon the Lord Jesus Christ and live the life that he intends you to live as his child. Again, this book is called The Burden Bearer. It's a wonderful read. Once you read it, I promise you, you're going to want everybody you know to read this book. Again, you can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Also, we're very excited to announce another Alaska cruise this coming August 3rd through the 10th, 2013. You're invited to join Dr. Chappell and friends from all across the country for great preaching and teaching, wonderful Christian fellowship, and the cruising of Alaska's Inside Passage, making a lifetime memory, seeing some of God's most beautiful and majestic creation. That's August 3rd through the 10th, and you can find out more information about it at dailyintheword.org. Finally, on the website, you'll find a subscription link to a daily email. If you would sign up for this, you would receive a daily email from Dr. Chappell with a devotional, a word of encouragement from God's Word, and then an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading along with a chapter of Proverbs every day. And as you get this email, if you follow it throughout the year, you'll read God's Word through in 1 year. It's a great resource, and it's free at dailyintheword.org. Well, thanks for listening today. If we can serve you or be an encouragement to you, please give us a call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Until next time, thanks for joining us for today's edition of Daily in the Word. Have a great day.